Okay, just to explain what's going on real quickly. Excuse me. Sorry for all the and stuff, but anyway, this is my 50th episode, so I decided to do something a little bit special. I recently reached 1,000 listens about a few weeks ago, probably like 2 or so weeks ago, and I decided to do something special for my 50th episode, which is also going to be the last episode of season one of the podcast. I'm probably going to take a little bit of time off to just rest and work on ideas after this episode, and also because I'm going to be really busy at work with the Thanksgiving season coming up. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone was on the same page and didn't really wonder where I went. I'm working on some stuff behind the scenes. I have a few episodes queued up that I'm working on that you guys will hear in a few weeks. But basically, to explain the concept, I decided to do a Q&A for the 50th episode. So I let people on Twitter, Facebook, and Snapchat suggest a few questions for me to answer on the podcast. And this is what you're going to hear after this. Thank you guys for all the support. And I'll see you on the next episode. Thank you very much. I appreciate the support as always and love you guys. Okay, the first question is, why does sound seem louder as night go, excuse me, as day goes into night? So I'm not a scientist. Let me first start off by saying that. But this is my theory. It's not really that sound is lighter, excuse me, louder at night. I believe it's more the fact that there's less ambient noise outside. Because during the day, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's going on that your brain sort of filters out. Because it would be distracting if every second of the day you heard birds chirping or cars driving by or people talking. So your brain learns to sort of zone out and filter out non-vital information. And at night, that sort of non-vital information that's been filtered out naturally during the day isn't really present. But even though you aren't physically hearing it, even though you're, excuse me, even though you're not consciously hearing it, you're still physically hearing it. So at night, when you don't have those sounds to sort of create that ambient noise, every sound sounds louder because there's nothing else going on. There's nothing being filtered out, if that makes sense. So basically, all the sounds that you would hear but not really consciously think about because your brain filters them out because it decides it's not vital information during the day, you don't really hear that at night. So everything sounds much louder by comparison than it would be during the day, if that makes sense. Okay, so the next question I received was, what's the hardest part of doing my podcast or doing a podcast? At least for me personally, it's a mix of things. So I'm not naturally a person that's easily motivated. It's hard for me to remain motivated just as a fact of life. So it's hard to sort of get myself going and motivate myself to, hey, you gotta record the podcast. Hey, you gotta do that with any consistency. As my viewers, longtime viewers might have noticed, there have been sort of gaps in between. I don't have a really consistent schedule. Sometimes I have a whole bunch of episodes released at the same time. Sometimes I'll go a few weeks without it. It's sort of the way my creative process works and the way my life works out really is sometimes I'll be motivated and I'll get a whole bunch done, and then other times I don't really feel like doing anything. At least partially that's due to my depression. Recently, a lot of that has been dealing with me getting a new job and working long hours and being, exhausted. So that sort of drains on whatever little motivation I might have. The other part of that is the hard part of this, excuse me, podcasting, at least for me, is the way I like to have my podcast set up is I do guests every week or every, excuse me, every topic. But being the person that I am, I don't really like depending on people. I don't really like having to work around other people's schedule. But, if you have a guest, you got to work with their availabilities. You got to do that. Sort of that searching for guests, working with their times. Sometimes people will flake. Sometimes the plans will change at the last minute because, people have lives. I understand that. I understand that people have stuff going on. So, like, my podcast is for fun. So, I don't blame people for dipping at the last minute. But, you know, it can be inconvenient at times when you're like, I got everything ready. I'm ready to go. And then last minute, the podcast doesn't happen for whatever reason. This isn't, like, a slight against the people. It's just, you know, it kind of sucks, you know. So, like, dealing with people, like, scheduling people and dealing with their availabilities and stuff like that. And that sort of leads into, like, my motivation thing from earlier. It can be annoying. And, like, sometimes I really just don't feel like dealing with people and their stuff. So, like, a lot of the times I could have a whole bunch of podcast episode ideas just stocked up. But, like, I don't really feel like going through the motions and having to deal with people and, like, setting up schedules and double checking on people and making sure they know what time we're doing things and all that kind of stuff. Oh my God, Ava, this freaking cushion. Anyway, question 3. Why is my nickname Mr. Bitches? To answer that question, my nickname is not Mr. Bitches. Just people occasionally call me that on Twitter because for whatever reason, they think I get play, even though I really don't. I guess I can be flirtatious at times. I'm very much the type of person that I'm complimentary. Like, I try to gas people up. And I don't know. Like, I'm a grown man. Sometimes I be flirting. Sometimes that works out in my favor. Sometimes most of the times it really doesn't. I wouldn't call myself Mr. Bitches because, you know, I've been chronically single pretty much my entire life. Like, y'all, I don't think it really clicks with people that I know through Twitter, but, like, y'all severely underestimate just how unpopular I am in terms of outside of the Twitter space. Even within the Twitter space, like, a lot of, I don't think y'all realize how little people really fuck with me. like, if I don't actively seek out social contact, I could go literal months without anyone, like, contacting me, hitting me up, asking me how I'm doing. That's just in general, let alone, like, romantically. I am almost comically inept at romantic overtures. It's actually kind of really bad. At this point, I'm sort of rock chilling, not really, like, thinking about it. But, like, it's not a fun thing, to be honest. But it's life. There's no use crying over spilled milk. But whatever. The point is, it's sort of my what's the word? It's sort of a joking nickname, rather. I'm not sure how much they think that I actually get any play, but occasionally, during what I call my rare popular phrases, I guess a few of my Twitter friends noticed. And they're like, oh my God, this guy's flirting. And, like, he's actually getting responses. He must be Mr. Bitches. Cause, like, that's what every guy does. As soon as they see their friend, talking to even one girl, oh, here comes Mr. Bitches. I'm not sure how that tradition started, but it's here. And I won't lie. I've done it before. I've done it to a few of my friends. I don't know. It's just, like, a sort of thing guys do. We like to fuck around with our friends. We like to roast each other. And it's sort of like, depending on the person, it's half like, I'm just fucking with my friend. It's also like sort of congratulations. Like, oh, look at my buddy. He's doing well. Look at Mr. Bitches over there. Jesus, I hope my mom doesn't listen to this episode. God damn it, Ava. Why did you ask me this? I'm a professional, though, so I answer every question that I'm asked, as long as it's not ridiculous. My bad. I planned to vote early. I even sent in the absentee ballot, but then I got really busy with life, working 10-hour shifts plus, 10-hour plus shifts, and I sort of forgot to send back the paperwork. So this year I shall not be voting early. I'll just sort of have to figure it out, but I am still voting. Cause I feel like, this is just my personal opinion, but you cannot bitch about the consequences of an election if you didn't put into the election, if that makes sense. Like, I dislike people that bitch about the something that they didn't even try. A lot of people may be like, oh, who know me, they're like, oh, this guy's a negative Nancy. He's always bitching about stuff. But like, if I say something negative about something, it's either because I have a very, I feel like I have a good understanding of what that thing is, or I've tried it and it did not work. And if I'm bitching about it, I tried it multiple times. So like, I feel like if you're bitching about, oh, this such and such person is terrible, blah, 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 but you didn't even put in your vote, then you really don't have a foot to stand on, in my opinion. So yeah, I'm definitely going to vote. This is an important election. So hopefully, I'm hoping Trump gets voted out, because like, he's absolutely incompetent. But we shall see. This is a pretty shitty country at the moment. It's always sort of had that underlying crappiness, but like at the moment, it's not a subtext. It's a text at this point, if that makes any sense. Like, people are reveling in how shitty they are and staying shitty and keeping the country shitty for other people for their benefit. So that's not really a positive thing. So hopefully this election sort of starts a trend of working on the issues that have sort of come to light and really been brought to the forefront by this administration. But we shall see. But I'm definitely voting. I feel like it's important. Okay, this is actually a sort of hard question, but the question is, what was my favorite episode to record or topic? Because a lot of the times I do a lot of multi-parters for like the recording and then the episode. Like, what was my favorite? I feel like my favorite like recording was probably shows how like juvenile my humor is. But there was a particular episode about compliments that had a few people on it. I believe it was Jug, Ava, Nashia, myself. I feel like Valden might have been there, but I'm not entirely sure. And that episode quickly degenerated into a lot of jokes of a sexual nature that I was sort of blindsided. I didn't really expect it to be like that, but it was also really funny and really entertaining in my opinion. So that was probably my favorite to record. I feel like my favorite episode to like listen to is like, this may sound weird, but like I rarely listen to my podcast because like, you know, I said it and I was there. I heard it the first time, but like, the episodes that I do actually listen to, like the full course, my favorite to listen to was probably the episode I did, a topic I did on black entrepreneurship or an artistry. And it was recorded with my friend Valentino. And I don't know, for whatever reason, like that episode just went smoothly. I feel like it was entertaining. I feel like it was informative. I feel like it just crystallized all the best parts of what I want this podcast to be. Entertainment, maybe you can learn something. And just like, it was just a fun time with another person that I enjoy spending time with and talking to. Learning more about the person, hopefully giving a spotlight to things that they do, but also just, you know, spending a good time with a friend. So that's probably my favorite episode to listen to, if that makes sense. So the next question, I forget what question number this is, but am I willing to fight Twitter because they won't give us an edit button? So like, I don't know why Twitter is having this weird thing with edit buttons. Like, you can edit most things on like social media. I'm not sure why Twitter is just like a last bastion of, man, you fucked up. You just better live with that typo, or you better make the tweet over all over again. And then they just be doing weird shit. Like, they just recently, for anyone who uses Twitter, they know what I'm talking about. They did something weird with the retweet button. Now if you click the symbol for retweet, instead of giving you the option, oh, retweet or quote tweet, it just takes you to the quote tweet screen. and then retweets like in the corner. And like for anyone, this may sound like some non-sequential bitching, inconsequential bitching, which it kind of is. Israel first world problems, but it's like it's inconvenient because like for anyone who doesn't understand how the Twitter layout is, the quote tweet button, it's a sort of like instead of having just the easy option of oh I want to just retweet or I want to do a quote tweet, it takes you to the quote tweet screen, which is like a whole nother step. It's like it's just weird. I'm not used to it because I'm so used to just being able to retweet. And like you used to not even be able to quote tweet. Like you just had to retweet. And like I don't know why they decided, hey, fuck just being able to retweet, or fuck having the option to just retweet. Now you got to go to the quote tweet screen and then decide, oh, I just want to retweet, which is like, why make that extra step for me? Like, it's really dumb. But nah, Twitter be doing some weird shit, some real whack shit. I still haven't gotten the voice memo option, the voice note, whatever. That sucks. I've updated multiple times. I guess fuck me, Twitter. and like really, like why I don't know why they can't just do an edit button. Like, bruh, it agitates me when I put the tweet out and then I look and I notice one typo. I'm like, God damn it. Do I really want to do this whole tweet again? Or do I fuck it? But like it hurts my soul a little bit, just a little bit. whatever. Okay, so the next question that was asked to me is, what is my biggest goal with the podcast? Or I guess, what's my ultimate goal with the podcast? The ultimate goal of the podcast is basically what I'm doing now. Just like, the podcast for me is a way to express myself, i.e. Emerald's expressions. Me being the Emerald, and I'm expressing myself. Anyone who may not know, let me give a quick rundown of what that means for people who may be wondering why the title of the podcast is that before I get back to the question. So my name is Jaira, which translates to jewel in Arabic. Since I had this name, Jewel, I decided, oh, next part. The next part is when I'm a big Pokemon fan. For anyone who has listened to like the last episode will realize I'm a huge Pokemon fan, and like my favorite game out of the franchise is the Emerald version, Pokemon Emerald version. Somewhat nostalgic reasons. I believe I played that version when I was about 9 or 10 years old, so I was at the perfect age for Pokemon. So like that one really stuck out to me. I have a lot of fond memories of it. And I also just like the color emeralds. So like I decided a few years back when I was sort of thinking about what I want to do with my life and what sort of things I want to go into, I decided I wanted to make my own music. I've always been a fan of music. And so I decided, fuck it. I've always been a fan. I like all the aspects of music, the behind the scenes stuff, the production, like learning about it. I like the history of it. I just like music. Music and me really vibe well. So I decided, well, I guess I could make my own record label. And I was thinking the names, thinking blah, blah, blah. What should I come up with? Like really thinking about it. And then it came to me, Emerald Emirates. I'm the Emerald because my name means jewel. An emirate are words of Arabic origins that means basically it's a princedom. An emirate is a princedom or a small land ruled by the emir. I was like, oh, it has alliteration. It has thematic themes that match up well with the meaning of my name, me being a jewel. And also the origin of my name and being an Arabic word, that's dope. So I went with that as sort of my name for my record label. And as things have sort of transitioned and I've had more ideas and things come up, I sort of decided to sort of branch that out and make it a whole multimedia brand. And I believe, I'm not sure if I think I've told the story of how I started the podcast before, so I won't go into detail with that. But like, as I came up with the podcast, I decided, well, since I'm the Emerald, I want to express myself. That's the origin of the name. I'm not sure if I've said that before, but this is sort of related to the topic. The podcast is just a place for me to like express myself, get my ideas out there. I'm very much the type of person that I want to be able, just due to situations in my life where I feel like I'm not very highly valued or very people don't really pay attention to me. I'm sort of a background character, if that makes any sense. So I wanted to be able to have a legacy and be able to leave something behind. And sort of the podcast is at least partially that for me. Hopefully I eventually go into other parts of my plan that I want to leave behind as sort of my legacy. But the podcast is, hopefully things work out. 1,000 years down the line, someone decides they want to listen to Emerald Expressions podcast. My voice, my thoughts, my feelings, those are all preserved for time immemorial. Like, once I leave this world, I at least have left something behind. This may sound really, what's the word? Maybe pretentious or whatever, but that's sort of what I want to do. I also want to entertain people. I feel like I have an entertaining, excuse me, that's not what I want to say. I feel like I have an entertainer's personality, if that makes sense. Like, I like entertaining people. I like making people laugh. I like informing people. I like having people be engaged. So, like, sort of, I want people to be entertained. I want people to get a sense, even a tiny sense, of who I am as a person. And I want to, it's also a good chance for me to learn a little bit more about the people that I interact with. During the podcast sessions, I usually have fun. I might learn a little bit about the person, and then I get a little bit more familiarity talking. Like, it's cool talking in person online and all that, but it's I feel like it's nice occasionally talking live where I can hear their responses. They can hear me. We sort of have that back and forth. So that's sort of what the podcast is for me. It's a little bit of it's a mixture of my ambitions and also when I record podcasts, it tends, like, when I'm actually recording the podcast, it tends to be the best part of my week because I get to relax, I get to joke a little, I get to laugh, get to inform people. So that's sort of what the podcast is for me. And I don't really have, like, a grand end goal, like, I want to reach 10,000 listens or I want to make such and such money. It's more a place for me to express myself, get my ideas out there, and sort of having a lasting memory of myself that people, even once I'm gone, I'll still have this. This makes sense. it sounds a little bit grandiose, but that's sort of the reasoning behind why I do what I do. Okay, I just got a lot of questions from a friend, so I'm going to answer this for her for the Q&A. What's my most unpopular anime opinion? Well, it depends on who it is. It's probably going to... My most popular opinions probably have to do with JoJo and or One Piece. With JoJo, I don't know. Like, I understand why the show was popular and stuff like that. It's just not for me. It's, like, really boring. Or, well, let me rephrase. Part 1 is extremely boring. Part 2 is not bad. I keep saying this, but, like, I've seen part 1, part 2, part 3. Part 1 bored me to death. It took me a long-ass time to finish it. Part 2, I enjoyed it. It wasn't bad. And then part 3, it's just, like, I'm not a fan of Jotaro. He's kind of a dickhead. And not the kind of dickhead where you're like, ah, he's a lovable scam, at least for me. He just seems like an asshole. It is what it is. And then for One Piece, at this point, it's me. It's somewhat me just fucking egging on One Piece fans. Because, like, this is something that annoys me. When people don't respect other people's time, like, people are like, oh, it doesn't take that long, blah, blah, blah. Like, what doesn't take long for you could be a really big commitment for other people. 900 episodes plus. damn near 1,000 episodes is a lot of time. That show has been on the air for 22 years. To put it into perspective, I am 24 years old. That show is 2 years younger than me, and it's been going on continuously. That is a lot of time for someone to invest in any one thing. I would say that about a lot of things. Like, it's not just like One Piece, like The Simpsons. I'm not going to watch the entirety of The Simpsons because guess what? That show is like 30 years old. I don't have time to watch all those episodes. It's something like 1,000 episodes. I mean, I might watch an episode here or there, but like, bruh, that is just such a big time commitment. And the thing is, it's ongoing. It's not only that it's a large time commitment, it's also that it's ongoing with no end in sight. So it's like, what incentive do I have to try to catch up to the show? Because like, it's 1,000 episodes. It's going to take me like 6 months. And in 6 months, they might have another 20, 30 episodes. And it's like, bruh, that just sucks away my motivation. So that's probably my most unpopular opinions. Because One Piece and JoJo are two very popular shows that I'm not sweet on, to put it lightly. My favorite anime villain? Probably Frieza. Just because he's such a... I feel like he encompasses that wavelength of being so fucking hateable, you just want to see him get his shit kicked in, but also being so damn, what's the word? Charming, almost. Like, god damn it. He's a totally terrible person. A space racist, keeps calling people monkeys, but he said some funny shit occasionally. And you're like, god damn, that was kind of funny. But also, I still fucking hate you, and I want to see Goku punch you right in the mouth. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he rides that balance well between like enjoyable character and also character you want to see get their comeuppance really well. Like, you want to see him really get his shit kicked in because he's just so reprehensible, but he's also entertaining. And like that, I feel like he has a good balance of those two. So that's probably why he's my favorite character, favorite villain. Piracy in terms of the next question is piracy in terms of anime. This is a complicated question. See, I don't want to be like that guy, but it's sort of a gray area. It's unfortunate. I would hope that there would be legal ways to watch all these shows and be able to support the mangakas and the animators, because I know they put a lot of work into it. But there are a lot of shows out there that are just not able to, for whatever reason, licensing. Maybe there's not enough interest. They're just not there. And like, as a fan of anime, growing up in the early aughts, I've done my share of griminess. Sometimes you got to get it how you get it, unfortunately. As much as possible, I do try to support anime through official channels, like seeing it on Netflix or Hulu or Crunchyroll or Funimation or what have you. Because, you know, like I said, art is art and the artists deserve their due. When I can get it, when I got the bread or when I got the access or when it's possible, I try to support things through official means as much as possible because, like, I want them to do well and I want to continue to get the sort of content that I enjoy. But sometimes you got to get it how you get it, like I said. That's why I said it's sort of a gray area. Yeah, it's probably not the best thing. I would hope that there would be better... Hopefully there'll be better ways and more access to these sorts of things through official channels and that aren't gated behind whatever, what have you. I feel like that was sort of non-committal, but that's the best answer you're probably going to get from me, unfortunately. So my definition of an otaku. So what an otaku is, for people who might not know, is it's the Japanese word that means literally man. That's what it translates to in Japanese. But it's sort of been used, morphed into a way of saying nerd in Japanese. Like, oh, he's a nerd. He's an anime nerd. He's a this. Like, Like, just how in America we would say, oh, he's a sports nerd, or he's a baseball nerd, or he's a basketball nerd, or he's an anime nerd. Like, that's pretty much what an otaku is, has been morphed into. It's usually used when referring to someone who's really into manga or anime or computer games or stuff of that ilk that are generally considered nerdy stuff. In terms of, like, what I would consider otaku, I don't know, someone who's, like, really into something, like, someone who's a super fan of something. Like, if you're really into basketball, I guess you could be considered a basketball otaku. It's, like I said, it's pretty much synonymous with nerd over here. And I feel like people be forgetting that just there are things that are generally considered nerdy by popular culture, but anyone can be a nerd. If you like collecting stamps, you're a stamp nerd. If you like, I don't know, horse racing, you're addicted to gambling, but you're also a horse racing nerd. Like, you're really into the sport or whatever. Like, someone who's really passionate about anything, they're a nerd for that thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. I like that as we grow as a society, we're more open to just allowing people to enjoy what they enjoy and not, like, make things as judgy and be like, oh my God, he spends all of his time doing this. And what? He's not hurting nobody, or she's not hurting nobody, or they aren't hurting anybody. Just let them live their life. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay. Which Asian country would you want to go to most? That's actually a tough one, because, like, for anyone who might know me well, they know that I watch a lot of foreign media. I watch a lot of, like, Taiwanese shows, Chinese shows, Thai, Korean shows, Japanese shows. I've been watching anime and, like, J-drama since I was a young kid. So, like, that's actually a tough one. So I'm going to bilch and not do, like, just say my top country, but I'm going to say probably the order I would like to go in. I'd probably do Japan first, because, like I said, I've been interested in the culture for a long time and been absorbing some of the culture through anime and J-drama for a while. So I'd probably like to go and check it out, see the food, that kind of stuff. Then I'm probably, in order of importance, probably I would like to go to Korea next, check out Korea. It looks like a dope place. I've watched enough K-dramas and heard enough K-pop that I'm starting to pick up a few words here and there. So I'm trying to learn the language a little bit. China seems interesting, but, you know, I'm not so sure about the government. It's sort of sketchy. I would like to, the culture of China is cool. Like, the people and the culture are dope. But, like, the government is kind of sketchy, and, like, they've done some generally horrific things, so I'm not completely sure about that one. Taiwan, I would like to visit Taiwan. Taiwan seems like it would be cool. And Thailand seems like it would be a dope place to visit as well. So those are probably the five places I would like to visit the most from what I've seen of the culture through, like, the dramas and stuff like that. Of course, it's not exactly like dramas and anime, obviously, but, like, you get bits and pieces. And I'd like to be able to visit and, like, see with my own eyes how things are on the ground, check in with the culture myself. Which Asian dish would you like to try most? Recently, I've never had, like, professional Japanese food, like actual chef quality Japanese food, and I recently had a katsudon at a Japanese restaurant, and, like, I had always wanted to try it because, like, you see it in anime all the time, and it was really dope. Like, I really enjoyed it. So probably the Asian food I want to try the most is ramen, like restaurant quality ramen. I want to see how it tastes, because, like, you see those anime characters and they be fucking that ramen up, and you're like, god damn, that looks really good. I really want to try that. I want to see what that tastes like, because they be fucking that shit up. They be, woo, they be going to town on that. I'm like, god damn, bruh. Is it that serious? I got to see what y'all on. Like, let me see what this is about. How do I feel about the lack of black characters? Is this in general or specifically in anime? I'm going to do in general first, and then I'm going to do in anime, because I actually had a question about this on one of my earlier podcast episodes where I talked about the representation of black characters. In general, the lack of black characters is, well, there's an anti-blackness in the world. The world doesn't really like to quote unquote admit to it, but it is. When you have shit like Fair Lightening Creams and it's sold in countries like India, Haiti, Jamaica, all over Africa. Okay. And then you have like stuff like we have in America where a black man like myself, I could be out and about just doing my business, going about life, and I could die. And that would be considered normal. The police could kill me. I could be caught up by some racists and hung to a tree. Like, and that would just be considered, oh, it's just another black man dying. Like, it's fucked up. It's like, I may be saying this in a somewhat light tone, but like, it's generally fucked up. Like the type of thing, like the only reason that black men like myself aren't in constant, existential horror where we're like frozen is because we have to survive. So we don't really have a lot of time to just sit and think about how this country is actively set up to not be for us. Like it either wants us in prison doing slave work for pennies on the dollar or 6 feet under. Those are the two options it wants. Any other options, it begrudgingly accepts us. But if the two options that are preferred in this society are in prison and making license plates for literally like 13 cents an hour or dead, those are the two options. And it's kind of fucked up. But in terms of characters, when society either wants you dead or in prison, those are the characters you're going to get. If you even get characters. Like, I'm not supposed to be there. The default is white male. And if it's not a white male, it's a white woman. And if it's not a white woman, it's an Asian man. If it's not an Asian man, it's an Asian woman. I'm at the bottom of the totem pole. By the time they get down to me, the pickings are slim. So that's what I'll say about representation and lack of characters in general, general life. In terms of anime and specifically, I feel like they're doing better in terms of like having black characters and having black characters who aren't caricatures, whether in character and or the way they're drawn. But it's also Japan. It's a country where 98% of the people are the same ethnicity. I would not expect much racial, racial representation or good racial representation from a country that was literally known for, you know, genocides. I love anime. I love all that stuff. But like, we can't be like, the thing is, you can appreciate a culture, but you also have to acknowledge its wrongs. Like, I'm American. I admit that I'm probably in a much better position than a lot of people around the world. But I also, as an American, have to say, America is fucked up. It does fucked up shit. You got to take the good with the bad in terms of these things. Now, that being said, am I saying, oh, you just got to accept it? Oh, if they do some wrong shit, they just don't understand, blah, 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 blah. No, that's not what I'm saying. If you see some shit that's terrible, call it out. Like, the only way people learn is if you tell them. Like, someone might genuinely not know they're doing something fucked up if you don't tell them. Because, like, they're going off the knowledge they've been handed. And like I said, the world is anti-black. So, the messages Japan gets are filtered through that anti-black message. And it's not like they see black people in their everyday life. Like, we have racist shit happen all the fucking time. And racial, all these caricatures and all these stuff. In America, we're black people are a major part of the culture, let alone Japan, where like if they ever see a black man in their life, that's like a fucking, they'll tell, their family will tell of it for fucking generations. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I feel like they're making strides in terms of, like, you see a lot of positive, more positive and more nuanced black characters being shown in anime nowadays. So, not to say that they've, oh my God, they did everything right, but like they're at least trending in the right direction, I feel. So I'm happy about that. Who's my favorite black anime character? Shut. I never really thought about it. Like, there's so few of them. Probably Jet. And before anyone argues with me, Jet is definitely a black man. That Jet from Cowboy Bebop, that is a black man. And you can fight me on that shit. That man, black. I don't care what anybody got to say. He might be a little light-skinned, but that is a black man. Or Killer B. I enjoy Killer B. A lot of people might be like, oh, he's like the stereotype. He's the one of the major black characters in Naruto and he's rapping. But Killer B's just funny. And like, Killer B's the type of character where like, he's been through some shit. But he didn't let it get him, he didn't let that shit get him down. And like, he's seen some shit. And like, that's sort of inspirational in a way. Like, yeah, life's hard. But sometimes you just gotta fucking say, fuck it. I'm gonna just do what makes me happy. And what makes Killer B happy is his little rhymes, his little couple of bars. Fuck it. You gotta fuck with a message. If I could cosplay right now, who would I be for Halloween? I never really thought about cosplaying. It's like, no offense to cosplaying, it's just not something that has ever interested me. I never wanted to dress up as some other person. That may sound pretentious, like, oh my God, I'm so great. I don't want to be anyone else. That's not really what I'm trying to go for. But it's just, I don't know. I never really wanted to dress up and as someone else. Like, never want to be like, yeah, I want to be dressed up as Goku, or I want to dress up as Vegeta, or I want to dress up as Naruto or something like that. Oh, I probably have to think about that. Give me a second. Does it have to be anime? Because, okay, I'm a fudge a little bit just in case you wanted it to be anime related, but whatever. It's my podcast. But I've always been a fan of like Power Rangers since I was a kid. And I would, if I was to cosplay for Halloween, I would do basically Power Rangers, but I would make my own little, you know, my own character. You know what I mean? Like a sort of a fan fiction AU kind of type of deal where I make my own Power Ranger costume. Like, it's based off the like aesthetics of Power Rangers, but it's my own individual thing. If that makes sense. So that's probably what I would do in terms of like cosplaying. But I don't have the technical skills for that. But like, if I had like in the hypothetical, I either know how to sew or I know a contact and I'm able to describe it to someone well. That's what I would do. My favorite anime character's outfit from head to toe. So first off, you're gonna start with a blue undershirt. Keep it real simple. They ain't gonna throw on an orange over gi, and then you're gonna throw on some orange pants. Got you. Then you're gonna throw on some navy blue shoes with some yellow highlights and red strings. And if you can't figure out who the character is from that description, I don't know what to tell you. My most embarrassing moment. This might be a cop out, but I generally forget my bad memories. I try not to keep my bad memories. What is an embarrassing moment for me? See, I don't remember. I mean, I've definitely had them. I've had a lot of... Oh. Jesus. Well, I just remembered one. So, let me tell you a little story of 14-year-old Jaira. So back when I was 14, I was at a private school. I guess I probably shouldn't say the name. So I was at this private school, and like they had this tradition where every summer before school started, a few days before school started, usually like the weekend before school, we would go on like a trip or something to like do icebreaker activities and have everyone in the class meet each other and, you know, have class, quote unquote, build class unity and all that kind of stuff. So the summer of my freshman year, mind you, to give you a little bit of context, I've always been a tall, heavy kid, heavy set kid. But back when I was younger, I was tall for my age and heavy set, but I had a very high, very squeaky voice, and I hated it. I hated it so much. Ooh, I used to hate my voice so much. And like, now my voice is my favorite feature, but like back then it was not, because my voice did not match my face and my body at all. It was really bad. I hated it. So mind you, I had been growing, and by that point, by the time I was 14, I was about 5'10", 171 pounds. For all intents and purposes, I looked like a grown man, but I still sounded like a child, and I hated it. Well, technically, I was 13. I wouldn't turn 14 until like 2 or 3 weeks later, because my birthday's in September. But I was 13, about 5'10", about 171 pounds, and I sound like Mickey Mouse. Fucking hate it. It was terrible. We show up at the school. My mom drops me off. There I am, chilling with my friends, talking shit, blah, blah, blah. And my voice starts cracking. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm happy that it's happening. Like, oh my God, my voice is gonna drop. I'm finally gonna get rid of this little annoying voice. But also, I'm about to go on a 3-day trip with this voice cracking shit. This is really annoying. So my voice is cracking, blah, blah, blah. End up going on the trip. Trip goes well, having fun, meet this girl. End up vibing with her. In my mind, mind you, I had to say it. I was vibing with her in my mind. we had the trip, we come back. I'm like, you know what? I really like this girl. You know what? Fuck it. We had a good connection. I'm gonna ask her out. So like we come back, and then like the next day is like the Monday. So we come back on Sunday, and then the next day of school is Monday. So like I'm like, fuck it. I had grown up, like had a little bit of a growth spurt. I had slimmed out a bit. I was feeling myself. I'm like, yeah, I'm sexy, I'm flexy, blah blah blah. And we was vibing in my mind. So I made the dumb mistake of telling my friends, hey, I'm going to go ask this girl out. Fucking dumb ass 13, 14 year old Jair. Looking back at this memory. So anyway, so I told my friends, I'm like, oh, I'm about to go. I think I told them because I was asking them, do you know like what homeroom she's in? I eventually find out what homeroom. And of course, I'm thinking, oh, once I find out the homeroom, they just going to go about their business. It's homeroom. I'm going to go ask. I'm going to pop back in. It's going to be all right. These fucking dumbasses follow me up the stairs to where her locker is. And once everyone else, I walk up to her. And then, like, they fucking crowd around. And once everyone else sees, oh, there's a crowd. Something's happening. So a whole bunch of these high school kids is crowding around. Now I'm nervous. Like, oh, shit. I was not expecting a crowd for this. What the fuck? But, like, mom ain't raised no bitch. So I'm like, fuck it. I said I was going to ask her. I'm going to ask her. So I ask her out. And she's like, nah. In front of all these people. Mind you, this is an important detail to the embarrassment. This girl's name was Muriel. I got fucking rejected by a grandma named girl when I was 14 in the hallway, surrounded by a whole bunch of people on like the first day of school. Not my best moment, to put it lightly. And most embarrassing anime related moment. Bruh, not gonna cap. I don't remember. I'm just gonna skip this one. I'm sorry. Hentai, octopus or alien? Neither. Maybe I'm the weird one, but like, bruh, on this planet with actual human beings, STDs can really fuck your shit up. Y'all think I'm having sex with a creature from another planet? What is wrong with y'all? Y'all really have no respect for your genitals. I can tell. Because y'all be raw in anything. It's disgusting. Y'all really disgust me. Like, y'all be playing with y'all lives willy-nilly. Like, it's a game. It's not a game. Syphilis is not a game, bruh. Well, chlamydia actually, if you catch you the right strain, that's that resistant to antibiotic, it will fuck your day up. Catch you a case of crabs, catch you some scabies, all kinds of things. I actually paid attention in health and wellness class or sex education or whatever it was for you guys. And that shit disgusted me. I don't want no goddamn 7-year itch. 7-year itch? That's disgusting. And y'all out here trying to fuck seafood and or aliens. That was about 75% joke. But I'm real talk. Would y'all fuck an alien? Cause I wouldn't. I certainly would not. Like, there's enough diseases on this planet that we don't know how to cure. And y'all trying to stick your dick in interterrestrial whatevers. I was about to say nookie, but they might not even have a nookie, y'all. They might not even be shaped like us. It's kind of presumptuous to think aliens are human-like. In this large, large galaxy, they might not be anything we can comprehend. If there are aliens, I'm not sure if there are. I'm not going to say that there aren't, because I'm not going to say like this one tiny rock is the only place that light can live on. But I'm not trying to fuck an alien, like a literal interspace alien. That concept is not appealing to me. I also don't want to fuck octopus, because the fuck. If you do want to fuck an octopus, I have to question you. This is a little bit funny. I'm not sure how to end this, but thank you for the questions. I hope you enjoyed my answers. Okay, so another excuse me. Okay, so I got another list of questions to answer. What drives me to be creative, and where does that drive come from? That's actually a hard one in terms of what drives me to be creative. I think I've sort of answered it earlier on with another question, but a lot of my creative drive comes from me wanting to be able to express myself, and B, sort of leave that legacy behind. And also, I just get random spurts of inspiration at times. Like, in terms of music, I'll hear a sound and I'll be like, I want to do something with that. That sounds really interesting. I wonder if I do this, if I do that, if I turn it to this, or if I do that with it. You know what I mean? Like, I want to mess around with it and, like, do something with it. In terms of podcasts, well, it depends on how you define creative drive. Like, in terms of like how I come up with podcast topics, a lot of the times it's random, or people will suggest things to me and I'll be like, oh, that's a dope idea. In terms of creative drive and like what makes me actually get up and do the podcast, it's like I said, related to my motivation. Sometimes I'll be like, it's been a while since I recorded anything. I've been slumming it. I guess I got to record, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? And sometimes it's just like, I'll get a really good idea. Maybe I'll come up with it. Maybe someone suggest it. Maybe I'll see something that's just like, oh, I should probably talk about this. So, That's sort of where my creative drive comes from. And unfortunately, I don't really have a lot of control over it in terms of I can't turn it on and off very well. It just sort of comes and goes as it pleases, which is a problem. But, you know, that's what we got to work with here so far. What is my earliest happy memory? This is going to be a strange one. It's getting context. One of my earliest memories, actually, that I fully remember is 9/11. Work with me. My birthday is the day after 9/11. My birthday is the 12th. I remember being extremely confused on 9/11. I was about 5 years old. No, I literally turned five the next day. I remember being extremely confused, like, because at that point I was in first grade, and like I remember all the adults being like really sad and like not understanding, because, you know, I'm four or five, and then like, you know how like a little kid thinks, like I'm thinking, oh my God, all these people are sad because it's my birthday, you know, dumb 5 year old shit. But then I remember, getting this like really delicious cheesecake with like cherries on top for my birthday. And I just remember being like really happy, like, oh, maybe all these adults weren't mad at me. They got me this cake. You know what I mean? It's kind of weird. But you know, give it the context that I was literally turning 5 years old, so. But that's one of the earliest memories I can remember distinctly of, like, oh my God, why are all these adults so unhappy? And then the next day, oh my God, I got this really dope cheesecake with cherries on top. This is delicious. What got me into Pan-Africanism? I don't know. My mom, I guess it's something that's... It hasn't really been something that I was like, you know what, I want to do research on this. Like, it's always been something that I've been sort of connected to, because just like my mom. My mom is the type of person that's very international and multicultural. She's always like traveling. She's always going to these places. She's like, she's been to Africa multiple times, all over the place. And like, she comes back with these masks and African, souvenirs, like these... artifacts, I guess you could call them, or whatever. And like that's always been something that I grew up around. And then like as I went to school, it just made sense to me. Like, I'm West Indian. Let me start off by saying that I'm South American. I'm West Indian. I'm Black. I'm all of those things and all at the same time. Because like my family is from Guyana, which is in South America, so I'm South American. But I'm culturally West Indian because we were a British colony, and we're more similar culturally to the West Indies than we are to the rest of South America. And I'm Black because I grew up in America. I was born here. I grew up here. So like I have all those cultural identities all at once. And then it just makes sense. Like, why would I not support people that look like me and... could sort of have the same experience or similar experiences to me. I don't understand why that is a weird concept. Like, it's in the sense that, like, it's Pan-Africanism isn't the same as, like, white supremacy in the sense that, like, we're not trying to become better than people or stay better than people. We just want to connect with our culture that was taken away from us by force. And also get to a point where our rights are the same as the rights of others. I've said this before in the podcast, this episode in particular, that there's an anti-Blackness in the world. So Pan-Africanism is a response to that. Like, well, if you guys don't want us, we'll do our own thing. We'll band together. We'll support each other and make our own shit. And like, fuck it. Like, if someone don't want you, like, think about it in this perspective. Like, you really into this girl. Like, you're a guy. You're really into this girl. And you keep talking to her. You keep talking to her. And it's like, she keeps dubbing you. Eventually, you're going to say, fuck it. I'm going to go over here and talk to this girl who's responding to my own advances. That's pretty much what that Pan-Africanism is. Every other culture in the world likes to take from our cultures, but they don't like us. They like black culture, but they don't like black people. They don't like blackness in itself. So, fuck it. Might as well be around other black people. That's sort of the mindset. At least, that's how I interpret it. There's a reason why they don't like to teach Marcus Garvey in schools. Because they want us underinformed. They want us to just think that life is what they hand to us, when it's not. I hope that one day, the generation of my children or my children's children or whoever, they'll eventually have that sense of not only being proud to be black, but also knowing that being black is a privilege and that they are truly gifted. That we, black people, are the wealth source of culture all around the world. We make this world run. They just don't want to give us credit. It is what it is, but fuck it. What are some of the keys to my happiness? That is a difficult question to ask someone with clinical depression. I don't know. Me doing the podcast definitely helps. Sometimes, like, music, I like to listen to music and stuff like that. Like, it's pretty much me just leaning into my interests. So, like, I'll try to watch shows. I'll try to work on something to keep myself distracted. It's really hard, to be honest. Like I said, clinical depression. Not easy. Kind of a fucking ass kicker. It'd be hard, especially since, like I said earlier in the podcast, people don't really be fucking with me who aren't my family members. Like, outside of my family, no one really consistently, like, talks to me or anything like that. So, it can get really difficult at times. Like, it's real tough. But, I mean, that's life. Like, I'm gonna cry over spilled milk. Maybe a little bit. I might cry a little bit. A little G tier on occasion, but fuck it. You gotta adapt to your circumstances. And unfortunately, my circumstances are being alone. Like, always being alone, being by myself. And so I sort of adapted to being alone. It sucks. I'd much rather be able to have at least a little bit of socialization, but, like, sometimes you just gotta tough it out and say, fuck it. That's what it is right now. In terms of what makes me happy, good music makes me happy. Doing the podcast, when I'm in the mood for it, like, actually, like, the recording of the podcast makes me happy. Watching a good show makes me happy. Hanging out with my family, that makes me happy. The rare moments I do actually get to go out and socialize, those occasionally make me happy. But those are some of the things, I guess. What are the 5 songs I've had on repeat last year and throughout my life? See, this is a tough question for me, because, like, I'm the type of person that, yeah, I'll have a lot bunch of songs that I play a lot, but I'm also always switching shit up. Like, I can't tell you a song that I play consistently throughout my life. I'm not very good at remembering this kind of stuff. So maybe in the past year, let me think. It's probably a lot of Drake songs, because I'm a big Drake fan. I don't care what anyone says, he makes slappers, so it is what it is. If you don't like Drake, that's your opinion. I can't change it for you, but in my opinion, he makes great music. I understand the criticisms of him, but I don't know, he makes music that I can connect to, because, like, a lot of the topics that he talks about, like, well, maybe not the multiracial thing, but sort of being that outsider, I feel like an outsider in life, because people don't fuck with me. Like I said, people really don't treat me like I in my opinion, treat me like I'm on the same level as them. Sort of the issues he's had with his mom being like being raised alone by his mom and his dad not really being there. A lot of the stuff they talked about on that I can vibe with. Sort of the romantic ending scorings of people, not the girls he's talking to, not appreciating him for what he is and taking advantage of him, that kind of stuff. Like, those things kind of vibe with me. I've experienced similar things. And also, I grew up listening to him. It's wild to say, but he's been putting out music since I was about 14. So, I grew up with him during my formative years, and he was saying these topics as I was going through them. I was like, yeah, that really makes a lot of sense. So in terms of the songs, I've probably listened to, what was the song I listened to a lot? I guess A Kiss You Like That by Shinoa I listened to a lot. I've been bumping a lot of Pop Smoke this year. So, Kristen Mannequin has been played a lot in my playlist. I recently added Because of the Internet to my playlist from Donald Glover. Okay, so I believe I accidentally closed the recording, and I'm not sure at what part, but I believe I was saying I've been listening to a lot of, like, Pop Smoke and Childish Gambino, so, like, 44 Bulldogs been played a lot, Mannequin, Christian Dior's been on repeat, 3005, Sweatpants, I've heard Shadows a lot from Because of the Internet, so those are sort of the musical influences I'm into right now. Oh, a lot of Mamamoo has been on repeat. Because they just make some dope music. So if I can't really name like top five songs off the top of my head because I don't really pay attention like that. But it's been sort of like that. That's sort of been the musical wave I've been on recently. What kind of movies do I like? When I watch, well, pretty much anything, but I like to watch things in general that I can't see in real life. Like, I watch a good documentary. I watch a good non-fictional, historical, all that kind of stuff. But I prefer to watch things that I can't see in real life when I'm watching a TV show or a movie. So, I like watch a lot of cartoons and stuff like that, anime. I like to watch things that I can't see. So, I prefer fantasy or sci-fi, like, superhero movies, that kind of stuff. Like, things where they're doing shit that I can't see in real life. I was like, oh, this is dope. Like, this is what I watch a movie for. It's movies for. I like a lot of that high fantasy elements. I like to watch cartoons, stuff like that. Big fan of like animated movies, stuff like that. The next question, can I handle scary stuff? Depends on what you consider handle. I'm kind of squeamish. I don't really like gore and stuff. Like, I can watch scary movies. I just don't like scary movies. Like, they I don't really have any interest in watching them. It's just not my thing. Like, the jump scare stuff, that doesn't really scare me. It just makes me feel like, eh. And then, like, the gore and stuff, I'm like, I'm not sure why people want to watch other people get torn apart like that, but that's just me personally. Okay, I got another question. What or who made me want to start my own podcast? I believe I've answered this before in other podcasts. But I'll go over it again. I actually sort of answered it in an earlier question as well, but I don't know. It's in terms of what made me want to start my own podcast. It was just like I've always been interested in podcasts since the art form started, early in the 2010s. I thought it was interesting that people not only could record themselves talking, but that people would actually listen to it, and it's entertaining. Oh, that's dope. And, you don't really need too much setup for a podcast or equipment or, you know, lead up. You get your some sort of recording equipment. You get something to edit it with, and then you get a place, if you have a place to upload it and people will listen, then you set. And you go from there. And it's interesting, it's an interesting concept to me that things that I would say, things that I want to talk about or things that I would like to say or things that I had to say are interesting to other people or entertaining to other people. So it's always been something I wanted to do. Well, I was always wanting to be able to, like, hey, just put my thoughts to paper, sort of metaphorically speaking, put my pen to the page, just put my thoughts down in some sort of, what's the word? In some sort of organized form. And that's what the podcast allows me to do. Put my thoughts out there. Out there for perpetually, hopefully. 1,000 years down the line, 2,000 years down the line, depending on how the human race works out, someone can come back and say, hey, Emerald Expressions, let me go listen to this dumbass motherfucker, Jair. Let me see what he talking about. That's sort of what they could do with me. That's sort of what I want from the podcast. Just be able to have a place to express myself and have a place where people can find me and have some sort of legacy left back over from when I was alive. Because, unfortunately, you never know when your time is up. Life's hard. Life's difficult. Life is mean. You go at any moment, so you might as well make the best of the time that you have while you're here. Is my thought pattern.